Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun or goes based on the data you have printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going, fine.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide,
go.
Control, go.
Telcom,
go. Jinsei,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And I am back at full power with this voice, as you can hear. It's a good place to be, Shingle Springs, California, here in the land of Shingland. And this is the first time I've been able to really put these pipes to work in probably 2 weeks. So you are hearing me at my full thickest better here with the voice back in commission, my friends. Light night tonight. We got Kathy just popped in, and I got Dan. And Dan checked the engines before I even asked him. It was really good. And we got Gerber Daisy. And, hey, good to see everybody popping in. Kathy, Kathy, I was going, where's Kathy, man? I'm going to have to man this property alone. So she's in. And tonight we are going to be having a real treat. Cindy Samson. I think this is Samson Braff is going to be with us. She's a psychic medium. I'm not sure if she's going to be taking callers, but I hope she is because she's incredibly good. I called into her show the other night when my voice was a lot less capable than it is now, and it was really cool because she zoned right in on why I had the problem and was dealing with you know, telling me why I needed to be quiet because of the mediumship stuff I'm going through here. And as a matter of fact, I just went ahead and purchased my mediumship course, guys. And so I completed the first lesson dealing with a lady out of the name escapes me. Carol is her name, I think, and I can't remember the last name right off the bat. But I'll have to actually have her on the show. She's been on some Blog Talk shows in the past, but I think it's ImagineSpirit.com out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And I paid some dollars for this course, but it turned out to be a really good purchase. And you know, and I'm not the kind to run around doing commercials for people. But you know, the PDFs that I got, I downloaded the course immediately and got into the material, and it really is exactly what I was looking for. So I am going to be taking this course, and I'll tell you guys what I think of it as I go along. And maybe we'll have Carol on. If I call her sensei, I don't know how she'll take it. I don't even know the lady yet, so we'll see how that goes. But anyway, I am waiting about, hopefully about 8:10, Cindy will be calling in. In the meantime, let's talk about some of the developments here on the ranch. Tractors. Big weekend for tractors. Oh, Dom is in. Good to see you. And, yeah, we just bought ourselves a Sears tractor, and it's amazing how fast that thing mows the lawns. Because I've been pushing the just using a little push mower for over an acre and a half of lawn. And believe me, it's a chore. And I got in that tractor, and, man, it just that's the ninth. Riding on that thing, I always thought it was kind of like, oh, why would you do that? It's not cool, you know. But when you get done and you've done it, do it in like, less than a quarter of the time it took for the, pushing it around, it's a good thing. So garden is in full swing. We already have our first zucchini squash are making their appearance. We're a little behind the neighbors. They got their garden in about a month ahead of us. We had all the medical things going on, including myself. So that's looking good. Tomatoes are blooming. And we have beans going crazy. Lima beans to kind of climb the poles. And we have string beans, two rows of those. So those are looking good. And, what else is being grown down there? Mom's got all kinds of herbs going. So it is incredibly hot here in California, too. We got temperatures riding right about today. It was a little cooler, about 98. The other day it was 102 here. So we kind of retreated indoors, and I did some catch-up work on things, bought the mediumship course and did all that. Oh, Cindy, I think, is here. Hi, Cindy. So she is going to be on here calling in shortly, and she is a really neat host. I really like listening to her show, and right off the bat, she asked to come on, and I said, hey, I'll take this lady, and she has a healing influence, I guess, because listen to this voice, it's back, and so it's good to be here, and we are back in Studio A. It's a little hot in here. I have the door open and the fan running. You probably can hear a little something in the background, but by gosh, it's good to be back in Studio A, and we are doing good. Oh, Cindy, I thought it was the, I had 18. Oh, I am so sorry. I think we had a confusion there. She thought she was doing the July 25th. I marked it on the 18th, and if I did, I am a terrible guy. So, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. So anyway, I thought you had the 18th. So if you call in, great. If not, we can always reschedule, and I can just turn this into an EVP show. So just let me know there in the chat room, and I am more than willing to do that because I can. And I own the station. I can make that happen. So anyway, let me know, and I will make that decision right off the bat and change course as captain of this ship. And let's see what we get from Cindy Bella and see where we go from there. So I'm watching here on the chat here, and if that turns out to be the case, if it messed up her schedule, then what I can do is maybe Kathy will pop in, and we can make a little course change. So let's see. On the EST, I'm west. I'm in the west coast there, Cindy. I'm Pacific time here, Northern California. Yeah, it was it wouldn't work out at 5 p.m. Not too many people. Let's see. So I'm waiting to see when Cindy comes back with that and lets me know. And I do see a 631 caller coming in, so I'm hoping I don't get chewed out too bad. I feel terrible. Okay, here she is.
Hello. I'm sorry. It's so funny. I was thinking that it was July 25th, 5 p.m. my time, 8 yours. Not realizing your show was starting 8, which would be 11 here.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I mean, I'm here to join for a while because today's been one of those crazy days, as everyone knows we all have those. I happen to have a dying mother right now and was with her a lot of the day today in between working all day. And, it's one of those things that's really quite I'm a little bit exhausted because she's been dying for quite some time, but today looked really bad, So I just left her home not too long ago. So I came home finally to check my emails and go, oh, my God, am I supposed to be in a radio show? So here I am. How is the show going?
You can hear my voice is way better. I've still just got a minor irritation in the throat. But, when I called you the other, it was a little under a week ago we talked, and you took me right on, and it was, a really neat reading. And I just listened to your show, and I was really impressed with you. So when you asked, I was already chomping at the bit, going, I got to get this lady on my show. But I'm so sorry about your mother. I know what you're going through. I've got a father who's had a stroke, and we've been through 3 years of it. And it's been a ride. I know exactly.
It's horrible. For our listeners to understand, the healthcare system's pretty horrible in this country, and. Those people who think long-term insurance is a good deal, I will tell you this. My parents probably spend upward of $200,000 on this insurance, paying into this insurance. And now you know, they were paying $120 a day out of pocket when my father was alive, and he just died in January. So now it's $60 out of pocket a day for the care that we're getting, which is $250 a day through the insurance, mind you. One person is worse than the next taking care of her. And if they hadn't paid for this insurance, I would have been able to, you know, pick people out of my own who I might want to hire, who would take better care than through agencies, because the insurance sort of binds your hands who you can hire. And so the nightmare has been the help. And that's really hard, because she wanted to come home to die. And let me tell you, it's been hard. You know, one of the aides that was good that I finally had took a three-week vacation. And during that 3 week, my mother just really went downhill horrifically. So it's something for people to keep in mind, that we're always trying to insure against everything, but sometimes we're insuring ourselves into a corner. You know, that if they had just put that money aside, the $200,000, I would have had more than enough money to pay for an aide that was of my choice and my hiring. So that's the hard, you know, thing. So anybody who's going through that knows what it's like. And, you know, I do talk to the dead, and my father was coming into my dreams in the last week, frantically telling me she's not being cared for. And, of course, I keep running there and, you know, trying to make sure everything's taken care of, but I'm not living there. She lives several hours, you know, about an hour away. So it's hard. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I went through it with mass seizures. You know, we had a couple of white-knuckle rides with my dad seizing in the back and my mother actually doing CPR on dad with a CHP escort. I know the ride. And, you know, he's stable now, but, you know, it's one of those things they told us. We could wake up one morning and he'll just have left. And, but, you know, what's funny is we had the same thing. You know, I actually asked my grandfather, who was a neurosurgeon who passed away in 1964. We were having a real bad time with dad, and it was getting really hard. And I went in and just looked at grandpa's picture and said, if I ever needed you here, it's right now, grandpa. And a week later, mom started reporting she thought she was seeing grandpa around the house. And then I told her, you know, yeah, I asked him to come in. And what ended up happening was every time dad starts to have a little trouble, we start seeing spirits around the house.
And that's exactly how they try to let us know when things are not being done, even when we're not there. And, you know, check it out and see. And, you know, when my father says go there, it'll always be something important, like they didn't know how to use the air conditioner in the house at 8,000 degrees. Do you know what I mean? And why aren't they calling me? Or they didn't have her machine on that keeps her legs moving, which is crucial.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking to the dead is a really helpful thing. And as we were talking about that on my radio show, it isn't something to fear. And the more that we can do this and learn, the better it is. And when someone is very gravely ill, the dead do surround a lot. You know, they're there and letting them know that they're there to help and to also get the person to transition who might be fearful and reluctant to cross over.
Yeah, it's to me, it's just been a miracle because, you know, at first we really didn't know what was going on, and we had aunts and uncles and then, you know, my grandparents who passed who are coming around. And we finally, mom and me realized, and we both have different abilities. And you know, I'm concentrating on this mediumship thing, and my mother is extremely psychic. And we were both looking at each other, and finally, I says, "I think that they're trying to do is show us when things are wrong. Let's just go with this." And she agreed.
And that's exactly what they do, because we can't be everywhere. And, you know, I'm a person who operates under the law of maximum effort. So I assume a lot of times erroneously that other people are doing the same, not realizing that if you're not there 24/7 watching over somebody, they may do the minimum they can do. And, you know, that's when, you know, of course my father comes through to say, "Your mother's not being taken care of. She's not being fed. Now, here I make sure there's food in the house." Do you know what I'm saying? How could she not be feeding her? You know, basic things of like that. And it's been difficult because, you know, one aid after another has not been so great. And, again, we're going through what's one of the top agencies in New York. So it's not as if we're not. So that's why I'm telling, you know, all of our listeners out there, think about these things and think about how you want to be cared for and, you know, maybe, you know, examine that the long-term insurance may not be the best bet because, you know, you know, $250 a day the agency is getting, but they're not paying those people, they're paying these people hardly anything. So you're not getting a $250 a day person. Do you know what I'm saying? So
that's the thing that's really bothered me. You know, it's like, I'm a capitalist to my core, and I look at the whole social medicine thing, and it just sends chills down my throat, you know, in my back. But it bothers me that, you know, the way that it's been done, but I understand the need for changing it, you know, because both, I think when you look at it, down the middle is the answer, but you know, both extremes are not it.
Right.
There's
got to
be
course.
Something.
Of course.
Can be,
exactly
incentive
right.
driven. You know.
No, socialist isn't going to be the answer either, but it is that we have, you know, an aging population and, you know, much more is needed in, I will tell you this, I just sat and cried and said, I don't know what to do for her. I don't even know. She's so emaciated. She's so everything. And I look at her and cry and realize nobody seems to know what to do in this situation. It's not, you know, who do we turn to help us? It usually is those who have crossed over. They're more helpful than the living because the living just doesn't know what to say or what to do at this point when people
so
are
funny.
Saying. And I noticed that. They do something. My mother does look very peaceful now, which she hadn't for a long time. So I'm imagining that she is having everyone surround her now, and they are guiding her and talking to her. She's pretty resistant. That's the problem. So you have a psychic mother. You know, if you have a very earthbound person and they didn't have much spirit, it makes the dying process harder. Because it is scary if you think, okay, I'm going to shed this body, which is a prison, and anybody would want to shed my mother's body at this point. She can't let it go because she doesn't know if there's anything over there. And I think because she is on morphine and methadone at this point, that she may not realize that it's not just a dream or hallucination that these people are, you know, are surrounding her. So I try to ask her if anybody's near her or, you know, but she's resistant. So that's a hard thing. So the more that we can open ourselves to dying as not a horrible experience, but really quite beautiful from what the dead have told me, that they are surrounded by those people who love them on earth. And then, of course, one by one comes those people who have crossed over. And they just imbue you with love. You know, John, as you're going to learn to talk to the dead, they usually immediately infuse you with a sense of love. They want you to know they're coming for a good purpose, a loving purpose. And after the messages come. Do you feel that? You feel like this immense, depending how much they love the person. I mean, sometimes the love is so overwhelming, it almost stuns you. And, you know, that's what I'm finding more and more. They just first try to give the love, come through, and then transmit it.
That's exactly what we get. I do on-air EVP analysis on Thursdays, and we call it soul streaming. And when I do get, you know, and I basically I'll record the questions, you know, people come on and they ask the questions of their relatives, and then I go back and analyze EVP right on the spot, and repeatedly over and over and over again, we get love. And it's exactly it. I mean, you feel
that immensity. And just because you die doesn't make you a saint, doesn't make you healed. And so the more that you were healed on earth or the more you're receptive to the training up there or to see what you didn't get down here and what you needed to learn, the more love will just come pouring through. You know, sometimes more recently dead or poltergeist are a little hard to talk to because they're scared. They're still frightened. And, you know, they're still more human than they are spirit. So I'm not sure what you're getting when you soul stream. Are you getting those who have really crossed over? Are you getting more recently dead or you just don't know?
It's pretty much the we tend to get the ones that come in who have been dead for, you know, some time and have been crossed over. And And then we do get the occasional, earthbound. I will sometimes get them, and I kind of know the difference.
Good.
I'm able to sense that, and I can pretty much get rid of them. I've got the techniques down for doing that. But we generally get the ones where, for example, I've had a murder case come my way.
Wow.
We did the private reading on that. That wasn't on air, but and this spirit came through, and he was very vocal about what had happened to him, and gave really critical evidence as to where to look for things that would to help the family. And he wasn't so much worried about his being dead; he was just worried about the family, and he wanted them to have some closure. And that was the way he was coming through. And again, infused through the whole thing was love.
And okay, so when you do this soul streaming, because I'm not familiar with that, how is it coming through via the radio? Is it being picked up as a voice? Can you hear it?
Number one, I'm clairaudient, so that doesn't hurt. And the other is, though, what we do is I run an FM, especially modified FM radio, that, we found a kind of a neat recipe for bringing spirits through using that. I use a shielded FM radio as a static source. And it seems to work better at about 100 megahertz somewhere in there. So I find an empty station area, bring that static through, then I bring people on and ask them to do their questions. And I have Audacity running, and we just go ahead and run basically a very short set of clips. So we limit it to 1 to 2 questions, and it takes a while to work through it because, you're really working your butt off filtering out everything and getting it just down to the voice that comes through.
Wow.
And I haven't had it fail. I have not had it fail yet. And when I do paranormal investigation, because I have my own team, I seem to be like a real magnet for spirits. I get lots of them. So it seems to be maybe even tied to me a little bit.
Well,
but
you're the conductor of it. And, when I first started to talk to the dead, I was a children's entertainer at the time, and I was doing a show in New Jersey. Now, I live in New York, and I've done about 2 shows in my career in New Jersey, all over Long Island, but never in New Jersey. And I had a tape player that didn't have a radio attached to it, mind you. It just had the tape player. And it was the strangest, oddest thing. Every time I went near the tape player, a religious station came through and started having a message from God. Just very pointed at what was going on at the party, though. And people were getting annoyed. They're like, could you shut off the radio? And I just kept walking away, and it would then play the music. And finally, I had to say, there is no radio in there. And they said, what? And they all went near it, and it wouldn't do it near them. And they go, well, you stand. And as soon as I went there, it was conducting. So it was odd that it was coming through me, a radio station, a religious one, that wasn't fanatically religious or anything, but was saying pointed, like, synchronistic remarks. And I thought, boy, this is really odd. And so that, and as you're, like, getting into these powers, I don't know if you noticed that we can make a mess of electronics. There are times when static will be going crazy here. Do you have that, too, where you start, like, conducting stuff?
Actually, I have a slightly different thing because I work in the computer business. I told you before, I'm in the propulsion business, and I'm not so bad around computers. But I have this annoying tendency to lately, coffee cups start spilling around me, and that's different than electronics. But I've been having coffee just every time I get around coffee, the cups tip over. The other thing though is the electronics. I blow up watches. I cannot keep a watch very long. Watches just
and that
do not
deals
work
with
me.
Time. And the Greeks were very brilliant. They had 2 different words for time. They had Kairos and Chronos. Chronos was the time that we keep in calendars and our watch, and it's it's that man-made instrument. Kairos was when time actually stood still. Those moments in life when something profound happens, and time stands still. And it could be when we fall in love, those moments when it's so profound it influences our soul. And so probably it's really trying to get you to be more in time, tune with the Chronos time, not Chronos time, but the Kairos, the really meaningful times, and not concentrate so much on that man-made instrument. And, those are the little messages for us. Do you know what I mean? Pay attention to the other things, the more meaningful moments. And just... And for those listeners here, you have to understand, I haven't been home all day. I wasn't going to even turn on the computer, so let me just check. How it came out that this was the time, when I'm thinking if it's 8 o'clock your time, it's 5 o'clock mine. How is it that I just was so totally confused and just sort of found my way to you and said, oh, I'm supposed to be on the radio. Now! And in a million years, I couldn't figure out how it's 11 o'clock. You know, I was like, no, it's 5. I'm supposed to be on 5 next week. And can you see how the spirits and people that have been near me all day have come through to, like, let me know you belong on air right now? And that's how they work. And, you know, today, because, you know, doing the tarot card readings, I was at a tarot card party in between visiting my mother. And all the people that came through had only been dead about 4 months. And they all were with me when I was sitting with my mother. They were all there saying, we're going to help her, guide her, to let her know it's okay to cross over. One of the women was like, I was scared like your mother. I wasn't letting go either. Let me talk to her. So the dead are very, you know, wanting to say, boy, this is good. I'm glad I finally shed that body. It's okay. And so it's been a kind of a unique day in that vein, because, you know, I'm going through this right now just as, you know, you are. So the more that we get in tune with the fact that they're there to help us, they're not there to frighten us, is very, very important.
Yeah. It's so
now,
funny.
I don't know
because,
if you have anybody who wanted a reading or anybody who's coming through for that.
As a matter of fact, I was just going to take a step back because we brought you on without an introduction, and I just wanted to, you know, do that. And then, yeah, if you're up for a couple of readings,
sure,
that would be great.
I wanted to make sure that if, you know, when I saw it there, I said, oh, my God, I wouldn't never, you know, I was a theater major in college. The show must go on. And that's why I'm actually very good as a psychic, because there's the show must go on. Do you know what I mean? And that's why, you know, knowing that, you know, the 10,000 live performances I've done in my life, I've never missed one. Well, I think we're going right on with that, you know.
well, you did it, and I already got a question in the chat room. Who is this woman? And yeah, John read my mind. Cindy, and I'm going to say your name. I'm going to take a last.
It's
Sansone Braff.
Sansone Braff. It's hyphenated
Braff. Right. Okay, Sansone Braff is an entertainer, rendered lips. Okay, is an entertainer, relationship coach, mystic, professional tarot card reader, and medium with more than 15 years' experience. She teaches spiritual workshops based on her book, Grant Me a Higher Love, and I did put that on the show page, so you can go to Amazon and take a look at that. And by the way, it's got 5 stars on Amazon. So, you know,
and
17 people reviewed it, and they love the book. So I'm going to go buy this. Because I'm a single man, 51 years old, I need to meet the right lady. Anyway, let's see. Gives lectures in which she shares her own experience on enlightenment, and gives private tarot readings throughout the United States and all around the world. And believe me, she also has a great radio show here on Blog Talk, and also her own website out there, grantmeahigherlove.com. So yeah, we'll be repeating that later in the show, off and on. So with that, now we can introduce you, and also I will put the number here before I keep going. I'm incredibly bad as a host today. 646-478-0377 if anybody wants to call in and get a reading from Cindy talking about maybe their love life or other things, psychic or medium or whatever out there. So we'll be watching the chat line, or not the chat line, but the phone. I am having one heck of a night tonight.
Well,
but it's
you know what?
Be-
it's something in the air, but I think you know, sometimes it's because, you know, I think I probably threw you off not knowing if I was going to come on, and that's a really hard thing to have, you know, if you plan a show and the person's not there, that's, like, pretty awful. So now you have to, like, switch gears. So it always throws you off a little bit, but I do believe that we were meant to have this radio show. It was meant to be today. It was meant on a day that, you know, I've been in a unique spot, and you're kind of, you know, you've just lost your voice almost over the experience of trying to figure out, do I want to channel or not? Do I want to be a medium or not? And, you know, I'm sure you've chosen now that you do, because there really isn't any turning back anyway.
That's the funny thing. I grew up in a family full of people with different abilities on my mom's side. I'm half Scottish Highlander, and we're from the McGregor clan, and that whole side were just, crazy psychic. And I have mediums going way back in the family, so I'm definitely born into it. And I've had stuff happening to me since I can remember. Since I was 5 years old, I had my first experience, and so it's just been, it's been an evolution.
Okay, that
and
long
tried it
for you, that long.
Oh yeah.
And we're in the same age range because I'm 57, so we're sort of in the same, age bracket in there. Of course, you're a young boy to me, but
my experience
was only later in life, already when I was about 41, 42, very grounded, sort of. At that point. And so you had it from a young time, and I guess they keep testing you, and every once in a while, you got scared, and so they backed off. And now you're really starting to feel like you're going to come into this now.
Yeah, it's funny. I had at age 18, 28, and then 42, I had three separate heart events, and two of them I actually had spiritual experiences. And it did scare the hell out of me at 28 because I actually went into a major event and they were working on me, brought me back, and I remembered a bunch of stuff that happened while I was out. And then the 42-year-old one, they had to do a heart catheterization on me, and I had an experience. And so I came out of it very convinced about the reality of spirit, still knowing that I had all these other things that had happened my whole life. And to me, it wasn't so much a fear, of the phenomenon. It was a fear of changing my life, because I wanted to finish my rocket career and do all that and then turn my attention towards this. And, and I'm doing it a little early, a little earlier than I had planned. But spirit is pushing me, and that's the thing I keep feeling. I think that's probably what happened to you.
Well,
I
found what they were doing was actually the universe has been quite apologetic to me at some points. The expression, many are chosen, few come. I sort of came kicking and screaming at first. I was like, hey, look, I'm not going to be Mother Teresa. You're picking the wrong person. Like, I haven't been to church in like 25 years. I haven't even talked to God. I mean, why me? And pretty much God said, and the angels and the spirits were saying, well, why don't you just let us show why you turned from God? Because, I have a little expression now. Nietzsche was wrong. God isn't dead, but dogma is dead. And so
yeah.
I was like, as it was revealed to me why I was chosen, that I was a person that would get the job done. And I said, okay, I'm coming along for this ride, and I'm okay. And I got a lot of apologies after 9/11 because the universe, I was already doing this now probably, 5 or 6 years, actually longer, maybe 7 years by time 9/11 happened. And the universe said, if the world wasn't accelerating so fast toward a world war, we wouldn't ask you to even learn any more lessons. We would have said you did enough in a lifetime. Because, I pretty much had advanced probably, 100 lifetimes in that period. It was just constant channeling. And so they asked me to not eat very much for about 2 months. And I'm, on the thin side. I'm not overweight by any means. So for me not to eat for 2 months except, sort of fasting and moderate eating was something I said, okay. And during that period of time, they channeled vast volumes of information to me. Almost at like computer speed. And what they kept saying was, we're sorry, but we want you to write this book, Grant Me a Higher Love. We want you to know that there's different kinds of love. It's not all created equal. That the toxic love that's out there that we've learned from our parents and from their parents and has been passed down, that angry love is teaching war. The mediocre sitcom type marriages where, I love you, but I take you for granted and I barely talk to you, is teaching cold war. We're frantic to have soulmate love that's really healthy and healing and brings out the best in people. And so we need to do this. We need you. This is your mission, and we're going to help you a lot. But the apologies come quite often because after that 2 months of frantic channeling, they said, okay, now you can eat. and then they gave me sort of a break in it, and then they come full force when they need it. But always with the apologies, we're sorry, but you're hearing it. You know, we have to come to you. If, you know, all of us have angels. All of us have spirit guides. All of us have dead people talking. You know, 20% of our thoughts are not our own. They always came from a spirit guide or from dead people. Those are the thoughts that are very clear.
Oh, God, I know this.
Yes,
I know this.
So you know that, right?
And oh, so, boy, do I.
So they were saying, you're listening. So we're taking spirit guides and angels from people who are not listening. So you've got about 8 million of them now, you know what I mean? So because you just hear it. So we're sorry, but we can't waste time. So always is the sorry. And then, you know, rest. Sometimes I just say rest. You've done enough. Rest. You've done enough. So if you can understand, we have 20% thoughts come from a spirit guide or a dead person who will tell us pretty much, like some of the people that survived 9/11 did tell me they heard, you know, the men on the loudspeaker saying, stay in the building, it's okay. And they heard their dead grandmother say, get out and get out now. Or they heard a spirit guide very calmly say, you have plenty of time. You know, take the person to the left of you, the right of you. Walk down this particular staircase. Go very slow. You have plenty of time. Well, they got outside, and the building collapsed in 20 seconds. There wasn't plenty of time. But they just didn't want them to panic. So those 20% thoughts come from there. 20% might come from our higher consciousness as we're channeling. About 60% of our thoughts are useless and erroneous and, you know, clogged with all kinds of nonsense. So the more that we can get in touch with the, you know, letting the dead people speak, letting them come through, letting them say, no, you're wrong. Nope. And, you know, that's not how it works. So are you getting more into that? I'm sure you channeled all the time when you were a scientist. You know, you probably could have, you know, channeled Galileo for all you know. I mean, you know, scientists will come through. Anybody you need for help will channel through you. Did you feel that in your work, that you were being channeled?
Well, yeah, I designed a really well-known file transfer system. It's in the aerospace business, and I just had it come to my head one day in 1997. I just saw this design, and it's like it appeared out of the ether, and I ended up ticking off a billion-dollar vision division at Boeing because I cost them a lot of money because of this thing. But I wrote it, and it took off like crazy, and it's an institution in my company now. And
wow.
You know, that's the kind of thing that comes through for me. And I just
did you give it knowledge? You know, because any great work of art, science, literature has to be channeled. You know, when I read my book I say, who wrote this? Because I know I did the 1,000 hours of research and work, but I'll say, I didn't write it. Do you know what I mean? It's beyond what I could have done. Do you ever feel that way?
I would agree with that. I agree with that because at the time, my experience, you know, at the time I was about 37, 38 years old. It was just something that just popped out. It was way more advanced than I was capable of doing at the time. And, you know, in retrospect, I look at it now and I think I know that was not me that came up with that. That was it was a need that the company had. And someone else with the experience used me as a vehicle. And I absolutely believe that. I think that there I did have some help with it.
Okay, so that's important to acknowledge.
It's been a time-tested.
That's an important piece of knowledge to pass on. If you're out there trying to, you know, have a meaningful career and you haven't been able to find it, or you're in the middle of, you know, writer's block or something, it's probably because you're not letting the channeling come through. You're not just letting it flow through you.
I have learned in this business I'm in, you know, and I'm left-handed, which is funny. All of the guys I work with are left-handed except one.
Wow.
And we all operate a little differently. And what I've found is that, you know, not questioning the source, just go with it and trust in your instincts.
That's important. When people say to me, who's talking to you? Who's the dead person? I said, right now, to tell you the truth, I don't know. But the person loves you, and I trust the source.
Yep.
You know,
and that's exactly it. Yeah, that's how it is with the psychic stuff and the mediumship. I've learned to just jump and not look where I'm going. I just trust what's going to, who's around me at the time working with me. And let it through. Now I do know the difference. Oh, pardon. Yeah, I do know the difference when it is a negative energy. So I can kind of say, no, that's not good for me.
Right.
So, but the
and
ones
again,
that come
you can
drop,
sense it. You sense it inside of you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just seems to when it is for the higher good, it just comes through. It's the easiest thing in the world, and it's just a matter of leaping and trusting that you have those with your higher good in order, you know, around you, and they do that. And it's a learned process in some ways, but I've always had it because I had an accepting family that said, yeah, that's okay, and didn't belittle me about having these abilities, because
wow,
they all had them too.
Wow. Well, you see, that's wonderful. You know, I mean, from what I've been told, had a psychic great-grandmother and different people, but, you know, it wasn't really talked about much or anything like that. I mean, I feel very blessed, as you do. You're a rocket scientist, and, you know, I'm a very grounded person, and I'm very glad we live where we do now, in this era where we can talk about it, and people aren't saying, oh, these two are nuts. Do you know what I mean? There's a time, probably prior to 15 years ago, when the beginning of me having these abilities, I really didn't talk about it openly. I just thought there wasn't enough people that would get it. You know, now I'm able to do it without, you know, I mean, some people still look at me like I'm nuts. You know what I mean? And I forget about that. People still feel that you might be nuts. Do you get that? You know, where people are like, huh?
Well, you know what's funny is about 2 months ago, my vice president came walking in of my company in the IT department, and I was sitting in the lunch break room reading a book about the dead, and I had the title down, and he comes walking over, and he says, hey, John, what you reading? And I'm like going, and I looked at him, and I says, I'm going to take a risk. And I flipped that book over, and his eyes about bugged out, and he says, why are you reading that? And I says, well, I'll take a risk, and here's who I am, and here's what I'm about. I told him straight up what I do, and he kind of avoids me now.
Yeah, well, that's,
it's
what,
kind
I'm
of
saying.
Funny to...
that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a point where people might not get it, and
But you know what? I'm at the point where I looked at it, and I'm comfortable enough with myself in life. I really don't give a damn what he thinks. I'm at the point where this isn't about me worried about acceptance from the social, you know, majority. It's more about, I've got a mission. I'm supposed to be doing this. This is God's work, and I'm doing a service, and I'm living a life of service. That seems to be the message that keeps coming through.
Exactly.
So,
and they will warn you. I have been warned sometimes not to talk about it with certain people. And if I didn't listen, I have regretted it. They will guide you and protect you even with that.
I think that in this case, I was willing to be honest in front of somebody who even might see this in a negative way, but at least he knows one thing, that I won't, you know, pardon my language, bullshit him, and just try to hide behind a facade. And
but,
I really
know,
think that's
enough,
the
when those
ultimate.
People die, they're the first persons that people come to me and say, oh, my God, I should have listened to what you were telling me. They come through going,
yeah.
They become the biggest believers. The man that I was talking to, but he died 4 months ago, and he was always telling his family, don't go to psychics, don't do that, that's bullshit, that's, you know, rip off. He came through to say, thank you for being able to do this. And I told him, your father knew this, but he always said this was bullshit, and they started laughing, you know, because they knew that's him.
What's so funny is my father, since we're having a cuss night here on the show, I'm feeling very good about it, actually. My father, every time I come in, he's real limited in his speech abilities, but I'll come in and say, you know, okay, Dad, I'm going to do the show. It's all about psychic stuff again. He goes, that's all bullshit. That's bullshit. And you know it's all bullshit.
Channeling your father.
And you know
father.
What I tell him? Oh man, I tell him, Dad, when you pass, there's one thing I want you to say to me, and he goes, what's that? And I say, three words, you were right. And then his face gets all pinchy and everything.
Well, it's funny, interestingly enough, my father passed away in January, and I, you know, think that when people know you for like 41 years and you've never talked to the dead or professed to be psychic and suddenly you're psychic, they think you're a little nuts. But once you get some recognition from a newspaper or other people, you get a little validation. So, you know, my father said, well, she's not nuts and, you know, she's got a following, and he was pretty impressed with that. I don't know if he believed it, But the minute he crossed over, he was grateful because he had left, you know, he was the one in care of my mother. He had left a lot of stuff for me to, like, not know how to do because, you know, he thought, you know, she was going to go first. And he was able to guide my hands to the papers, tell me not to worry, you're doing a good job. And it made him, who was so afraid to die and leave her, that now there's someone who can, he's still here. Do you know what I'm saying? So they don't want to necessarily believe it when they're here. That's their resistance. And, you know, we just have to know eventually they're going to get it, sooner or later.
You know, it's so funny. My great grandmother, and I just brought our other caller on, so she's the mic's on, but I'll just transition into that. But my my grandmother, Nani, on my mom's side, was 92 years old, and I remember when she passed, I actually had looked at her. It was a morning where we were having all breakfast. This is 1976. And I turned around. I just walked out. We'd had breakfast, and I looked around, and there she was looking at me, and she was a real seasoned, wise woman, you know, and she was just tougher than nails. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and it was a moment of knowing, and I knew instantly that would be the last time I ever saw her alive.
And
I walked
that
out the door.
Knowingness. You said the knowingness.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Yeah, and I walked away, and 3 minutes later, she had a massive heart attack, and she ended up, my mother took her in and got her basically, she the heart attack, she ended up having massive sweating. That's what happens when, you know, some people have that happen, and she had to be changed her clothes. The ambulance is on the way, and she's sitting there, and she wasn't, you know, she had children who were all psychic. She wasn't so much herself, and she was real in the middle about all this. But she was sitting there, and she looked at my mother, and she says, "Vani, I do believe I'm dying, aren't I?" And my mother was brutally honest, and she says, "Yes, Nani, I think you are." And she says, "Good, I'm going to be with my AJ." And
aww,
she sits there, and all of a sudden she had this look in her eye, and she reached her arms out, and she had her arms out, and she's looking beyond my mother, and she says, "I see him. I see them. They're all waiting for me." And she was gone in 3 minutes.
Well, that's
and
because
it was just,
she felt comfortable. I mean, she felt their love, and they were telling her, "Go, go. You don't want to go to the hospital. You don't want to be tortured. Come to us. You know, we'll save you that torture."
Oh man, it was such a shock to us all. You know, she just had pancakes with us. We had, you know, 20 grandchildren. Everybody was running around like crazy. It was nuts. And in the middle of it all, you know, the matriarch just says, "Okay, I'm checking out on my own schedule."
But she got to say goodbye to everybody. She got to be with everybody the last moment. That's what I'm saying. Could you imagine what glorious dying? All of your loved ones on Earth are here, and you live a long time, you've got a lot of dead people up there. They're all coming one by one, and you look at all the love, and you go, I'm not gonna feel bad because I'm gonna see them again, and I'm going over to my loved ones. How beautiful her death was.
I think so too, because she was. I just loved her to death. You know, I was glad she passed the way she did with her mind fully intact. She was 92. I mean, all our people tend to live into their 90s, and I was just thrilled she got to be back with my great grandfather because he had died of pneumonia. He was a lawman, used to ride horseback in the Sierra Nevadas, and he had legendary gunfights, the whole thing. I mean, yeah, we come from some tough people, but yeah, he personally came to get her, and she said she saw him, and then she left, and it was just so neat. But,
and that is wonderful. And, you know, that kind of death has good karma surrounding it, by the way. My mother's long, drawn-out death has a lot of karma for a woman who refused to learn much on Earth. And now as she's suffering and is putting food on people's table who takes care of her, and that allows you to burn off some of the karma, is supposed to be getting spirit guides coming and teaching her. I don't know how much she's hearing. But, you know, we sort of earn that right to kind of go quickly like that. You know, it's a good karma surrounding that.
Is here online. And Dom, are you there?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Okay, I am going to shut up and introduce you to Cindy, and you two have a good time. I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Okay. And I'm Cindy, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Domenica.
Okay, hi. Domenica. Was there a question that you wanted answered? Is there something that's on your mind today more than other days that you need answering?
Maybe a safety issue.
A safety?
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling very safe right now? Because what I see here is a good outcome to a situation. I do see you worrying, like at night, really worrying. And a lot, there's a lot of anxiety and worry in this picture. But what's coming through is that you are getting a lot of angels and guides surrounding you and trying to guide you through the situation. Are you hearing what they're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, and even with it, you still have a lot of fear. Are you aware of that?
I pull myself out of that real fast.
Okay,
and,
good.
And focus on something more positive. I think it's some kind of training to stay into the positive that I'm getting. You know, because these different thoughts and the anxieties are popping in, and I'm changing them real fast to something positive as soon as I can.
Because you've got the star card. That's a card that, you know, you have a grandmother who passed away who's saying, you had a lot of courage when you were a little girl. Your true nature is courageous. And you do have everything you need to survive all by yourself, you know, standing on your own 2 feet. And this is a lesson in that. It's a lesson in us not fearing so much, you know, for our physical safety all the time because we are watched over. You have, like, a heartbreak card here. You've had a hard year. I mean, it doesn't look like it's been all that easy.
No, I had cancer, and I was near death 4 times. So it's been a rough year. So it's like a post-war syndrome, I think, that anxiety, you know, like, okay, am I going to die or am I going to live, you know?
Of course, but, you know, illness, cancer, they're wake-up calls for us. You know,
yeah.
If we in life and we're negative or there's situations that, you know, we're not learning, sometimes God needs us to get a wake-up call. And it isn't really God's choice to have it through illness or financial disaster, you know, or some horrible thing happening. But human beings by nature usually learn through suffering. So,
well, this was a crash course. I can tell you the things I learned. I don't recommend it necessarily to anybody, but as far as a crash course in education and compassion and patience and
endurance,
release,
perseverance.
Yeah,
you know, those are big ones. And you, if you could write down the lessons, because in any major life awakening experience, like the ending of a love affair that was very important, a death of a child or a loved one, a major illness for us or one of our loved ones, financial disaster. That's God's way of saying, let go, let God. You're not in control of everything. We're old souls. You're an old soul. Old souls are very good at being careful and cautious and controlling things. And after all, God says, you know, that's an illusion. I mean, I could just nuke your whole world in a second if I want to. And so if you could learn the lessons and write them down, and there are countless of them, even not to fear death, you know, there's a mind-body connection, and cancer has a strong component for old souls. You know, the Nazis are still alive. Some of them are 99 years old in prison. They're not getting cancer because they don't turn anger inward. You know, older souls don't think anger is a valid emotion, so they tend to stuff it down till it becomes depression and illness. And so if you could understand why in your life you probably had a lot of reasons you could have been angry. Are you dealing with some of your anger issues?
Oh, I've dealt with them for a lifetime.
Okay.
And released them and blessed them and, you know, thanked them and knew there was a...
But have you felt them? Because older souls have this thinking, it's okay you did it to me. I can take it. Okay, you said you're sorry, even though you did the same damn thing 8,000 times. But you said you were sorry. I forgive you. After a while, the problem with older souls is we don't forgive ourselves. And we're angry at ourselves for taking it. And we tend to go from A to Z. The person says they're sorry, you know, they run us over with a Mack truck. And we say, oh, you said you're sorry. You're dead drunk, but you said you're sorry. Okay, I forgive you. And God says, wait a second. You know, you've got to go to the hospital. You've got to get your legs amputated. You've got to go to rehab. You've got to take this guy to court. He's got to go to jail. Then maybe you could forgive him. Sometimes we haven't really gotten in touch with anger. And if you would do a little assignment that was channeled to me about 3 years ago when, you know, my angel and guides were saying, you got a lot of anger issues. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I don't. And they said, why don't you go back to your life from the day you were born to now and write down what you did and what other people were supposed to do. Well, I found that I did 90% of the work and the people only had to do 10%. And every significant person in my life had failed me. And my angels and guides said, but you're not angry about it? And so if you could go back to your life and understand why anger is a valid emotion, we tend to be very in touch with, like, if we're feeling betrayed or hurt, you know, or those feelings. But the anger is an emotion that we seem to not understand. It is the right response when we've been hurt. So if you want to be really healthy, and I know that you do, blow that anger back. Say, you know, this is not my pain to process. I've done it. You've caused this. I'm blowing it back to you to deal with. And, you know, deal with that. It is a year of strength coming for you, by the way. The judgment's really good for you. And so,
I'm ready.
You know, and you have a wonderful five-year period opening up called the world, in which anything you want is yours. The laws of attraction are much easier than you're practicing them. You know, you don't have to control it. You don't have to figure out how it's going to be. But I want you to visualize the life that you're going to have 5 years from now. You know, health-wise, love-wise, you know, money-wise, for your family, your loved ones. It's not your job to figure out how to get it, but it is your job to see the possibility of it and to see it clearly and to see your health. You know, Western medicine will give us a death sentence a million times over. You know, John had, you know, pretty near death. You know, all of us have had illnesses or whatever that, you know, the prognosis was poor. But the mind-body is an amazing connection. And so you knew right away, I got to start healing my mind and learning some stuff. You got that. So you've got the lesson in cancer. I mean, it is a wake-up call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And again,
it was a crash course.
Absolutely. And again, now you can say, okay, God, I got that lesson. I don't need to learn that one anymore. I got it. You know what I mean? So let's, like, move on to lessons through love, because the way that God wants us, and John, I want you to listen to this, because, you know, the lessons that God wants us to learn through love, not through suffering, not through pain, but through love. And love is not pain. Love is joy. Love is peace. Love is friendship and kindness and all of those things. And so if we can all try to say, I want to learn through love, and if I'm with a soulmate or I'm with a person and I'm having anxiety and I want to run away because, you know, I can't deal with this, we need to stay put. And, you know, God's saying, I gave you love. There's issues you need to face. Face it through the love. And keep going more and more to that feeling of love, and the lessons will be learned that way.
Good. I like that.
It's wonderful, and, you know, again, you know, good luck to you, because your cards are really good. You know, you've got that world spinning, so just take advantage of this wonderful five-year period that's opening up, and, you know, don't believe everything Western medicine says. You know, mind, body, there's a lot of healing that can be taking place. You know, I've had women who've had really bad, you know, have cancer, fourth stages of breast cancer, and they come to me, and, you know, they have little children and they don't want to die. And I'll make them sit with me for like 5 hours and I'll say, we have to get in touch with the anger. And they keep insisting they don't have any anger. When I finally break through it, their lives have been horrific. You know, sexually abused, you know, horrible, you know, men in that situation. And I'm like, but you don't think you're angry? And, you know, they're stunned when they look at their life. And I say, you know, you're telling me this stuff like it's okay, it happened to me. If somebody did this stuff to your daughter, would you not be like, oh, my God, I'm going to kill those. Oh, my God, this is horrible. Why is it was okay that it was done to you? And that's what we've got to stop. It's not okay you do it to me. Think about if it's being done to a beloved child. Would it be okay? And, you know, we have to, you know, treasure, you know, treat ourselves the way we treat our children and the way we want to protect them. because for the most part, a lot of us have not been all that protected in life. So that's an important thing.
Well, part of it was a little confusing because they said I had tumors, and I was meditating on that, and they said I had emphysema, and then later they couldn't find either one, and then they said I had lymphoma, and that's what they treated. So these were disappearing as before they could treat them.
Do you think that was because you were healing?
Yeah. But they didn't say that. They said, oh, it wasn't as bad as we thought. It wasn't two tumors. It's lymphoma, which is something completely different than two tumors in your lungs, because the lymphoma was located in other places, according to them. And I says, where's the emphysema? I says, well, maybe it was my old case of that, you know. And so it was also confusing. And sometimes there's, when your immune system is weak, you get some side issues like candida and swelling, body fluids and stuff. And to get those treated was challenging because they want to blame it on the lymphoma, you know. So it was that the medical part of it was confusing to me. You know, exactly. Am I healing this or did I never have it?
You heal it while you were learning about it?
They said it was there, and before they started treatment on the lymphoma, then they said, you know, that it wasn't as bad as we thought. It's lymphoma, which is the kind is 75% curable with chemo, you know. It is quite an ordeal. It's 2 years of illness, but that medical part is all confusing. Did I heal it?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows perhaps you were healing it at the moment, because those women with the fourth stages of breast cancer are alive now. They didn't die.
Wow.
They didn't die, and they had death sentences. I mean, but they, and I said, you have babies. You want to live to see them. You stop protecting the people in your life who have hurt you, and you start putting that pain where it belongs so that you can live to dance with your children at their wedding, and so you've got to do it. And they really worked hard to deal with their anger and to deal with the issues that were surfacing as they surfaced.
And so they get angry at this, that if you're angry, you're in judgment, aren't you, of somebody else? I mean, if somebody does say, rapes you or something, and you're angry, then you're judging, you're terrible, you're awful, right?
No, actually, anger is the right, if someone rapes us, steals from us, hurts us, anger is the right response. Why should it be okay they've done it to us? And yes, you're going to forgive not the person's actions, but the person, but only after you go through making sure justice is done, if it can be done. We don't walk away. Old souls too often say, oh, okay, so it was my brother. He stole my inheritance. It's okay. I don't need it. I could just work another 8,000
years. No, it was my sister.
Okay, you're getting it. You're getting it because someone's coming through. I was trying not to make it your family, to be honest with you. I didn't want to put you on the spot here, okay? But it's not okay that your sister stole your inheritance. You know, those are the coward thieves. If you're going to steal, go steal from strangers. Don't steal from your inner circle who won't put you in jail, who won't, you know, do anything about it, who will turn that anger into cancer. You know, what's been channeled to me is it's not the terrorists that's going to get us. It's our own inner circle. It's our lovers. It's our brothers, our sisters. Those people we've trusted, they're going to hurt us. And traditionally, older souls did just say turn the other cheek, which doesn't mean slap me, silly. And what Jesus said, and they didn't teach this in Sunday school, was I didn't come to make peace. I came with a sword to turn family members against family members. If somebody's hurting you, I don't care who they are, you will go to jail. And I'll say to my family members, oh, okay, so now you think you're going to steal another inheritance from me? They go, well, what are you talking about? I say, hey, let's not play stupid here. You got away with it once. You belong in jail. Is that a way to talk to me? Well, just don't do it again. And old souls really want everybody to like them. you know, and we don't want to rock the boat. We're peacemakers. But why do we care if somebody likes us who's robbing us? Why do we care what people are saying when people are hurting us?
Oh, I don't care if somebody likes me. I no care whether somebody likes me or not. I just try to see the purpose in other people's actions. Now, I did get a lawyer with a sister. I got some of the inheritance through getting a lawyer, but I figured her basis was a fear base, and that's why she took that action. I know I'll always be all right financially.
And that was good that you did that, but that's one example of someone hurting you.
Uh-huh.
And again,
it does sort of hurt, but I know where she's coming. I mean, that's fear.
But again, old souls see people sin. I have a little sound, but we make excuses for abuse. There's no more excuses for abuse. It's not okay that you do this. It's not okay. And that's a big step in self-love and self-healing. You know, and it took me a long time to say that. And, you know, I've learned a lot about dysfunction having been raised in a massive amount of dysfunction. And what I've learned is you don't do that to people you love. And if you're going to do that, you're not permitted in my life because that's not the energy I want in my life. I don't want to feel like a victim. I don't want to be victimized. And so, you know, understand that those are the examples of the anger that sometimes eats at us.
Ah.
Do you understand? Okay. Anger was the valid emotion. Why should we have to take our brothers and sisters to court? Why don't you do what's right? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Who wants to take their own brother or sister to court? It goes against everything that seems so fundamental. When you're a good person, you feel a little, we can feel sometimes guilty doing this or whatever, but we're asked to do what we have to do. And it took a lot of courage for you to do what you did. You know, a lot of people won't do that. So those are the things, if you would examine your life and look back and know that there were times when you had a right to be angry.
Cool, Sandy.
So, I mean,
I think I'll go punch a pillow or something.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's just really, all we have to do is acknowledge. We just have to acknowledge it within ourselves that somebody did something that was horrific or that was just hurtful and that it hurt more because it was somebody we loved. And so, you know, I just know you're going to be so well in it, and I'm really glad you called in. And I don't know if John has anything to add to what I said, but.
Boy, you hit a home run. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. And if you can hear the passion in my voice about that, it's like really trying to get us, the old souls who are good, you know, to stand together and support when they have to wage war, because by nature we're peacemakers. And there is a time when we do have to wage war. We do have to speak up, you know, and God will give us that lesson to speak up because we have the voice. You know, those of you who are listening, and sometimes if God gives you a situation, an illness that you can't really see the karma in it, you think, well, I think I'm pretty healed. Why did you do this to me? Well, I will hear God say, I'm sorry I put you in this situation, but we needed your voice. You'll speak up. You know, so just speak up, like with my mother. I have to call the agency and begin to say, it's not okay you're sending lousy aides that are not trained to my mother. It's not okay that you're taking top dollar and sending incompetent people who have not been trained. And that that's the whole point, that I'm put in a situation to speak up. And God will apologize.
I did have a charge against mainstream medicine, you know, thinking, well, doctors want money and they charge too much. And that was another thing I learned through this period was that whatever reasons that doctors and nurses got into healing, that there was that essence in them that wanted to help people. And I really saw that and respected that through this period. You know, so that was brought to the front that there were these wonderful people that really wanted to help somebody.
And see, there you are. And that's, you were there. So from this horrible situation of illness came love. There were people. And that's a way of letting us know, As older souls, we sometimes don't ask for help. No matter what we're going through, we go through it ourselves, and God will say, I have to get rid of that illusion that you don't need help. I will give you an illness, and you'll see that you do need help. And in asking for it, and I'll bring you people who will love and help heal you. And so that loving energy probably healed you more than anything. You know, just the people that were really there saying, we're here, you're not alone.
Oh, yeah. People, my house was full of people, and then all these guys, my friend got on the phone and said, how did you all learn about this? Oh, karma called us. How she can, you know, all of a sudden I got a house full of people and these doctors and nurses that were just beautiful and awesome people.
And that's the whole point. And if you're put in a situation where the people are bad, if you go through, you know, something where a doctor isn't good and you've been injured or hurt, sometimes God gives us that situation because this doctor is hurting people and not doing the job. So speak up and make sure it doesn't happen again. And if you don't wage that war, you walk away and say, it's okay, the doctor did it to me. God's just going to give you another lesson, another war to fight. So you might as well fight the one that's on your plate today. And once you fight it, God will say, okay, now I don't have to give you any more battles. You know. fight the one today.
I like
you know?
That. I like that a lot.
So
I'll take the words
be
on my
true plate. To yourself, to your own feelings is what you're
right,
you're
and if your conscience is telling you that this doctor or this person does this quite regularly, we can't let them get away with it because actually that goes on our soul records. If we have a brother or sister or someone who robs from us and we let them get away with it, when they rob the next 10 people, that's on our soul records because God says, you could have stopped it. You could have let them know that they can't steal from people who love them. So,
I've got a little conflict, Cindy, though. About a week ago, I had a dream. I spent the weekend. Do you know Greg Braden?
Yes, I do.
I spent the weekend with him. And two times in this dream, two different times, somebody was approaching me with anger, and the Italian in me was just about to speak up and snap back. And I felt him 20 feet behind me, and I turned around and I looked at him, and he said, turn your back and walk away.
And that was in your dream?
That way, and it was very strong in my dream. And I have a high regard for that man. And that's what his instructions were. Turn your back and walk away. Now, it could be a different situation. It could be that it doesn't matter.
But it also
what
showed you some anger
think.
In your dream. It did show you anger. And by the way,
yeah.
I'm half Italian, and the Italians come through in droves. You know, one of four Americans are of Italian descent. Well, three or four of my clients are, because Italians come through to say, I'm sorry, we taught you to be loyal to people who don't deserve your loyalty. I'm sorry. Loyalty is earned. And so your Italian relatives are coming through to you to try to undo some of the things that they taught you that maybe had put you in a position in which you didn't speak up when you could have. But the anger, you know, always, sometimes there is a time to walk away. That's when you have to figure out your higher consciousness. Is this a moment where God says turn and walk away or fight and then walk away? You know, every situation has to be, you know, looked at very closely. And if your intention in suing your sister was not to hurt her, but it was necessary, that's a good thing. If we're doing things just to hurt people, you know, God will see to that intention too. What is your intention? Is it to heal or is it to hurt? And if it's to heal, we've got to do it, even if it doesn't look like to the outside world that this is a healing moment. You know, only your heart can tell you that.
Right.
And so, you know, you have a lot, you know, of wonderful times ahead for you. So just keep working on that mind-body connection. And think about what I'm telling you about anger. Turn the other cheek really doesn't mean slap me silly. It means you hit me once, you better not do it again. And it's a different energy.
Right. When you said that, I couldn't help but to think about Bush. When you said hit me once and shame on you, hit me twice, and boy, it's just not going to happen.
Right, and that's really it, because you did it to me once. You said you're sorry. That means that you recognize you did something wrong. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, forgive 7 times 700 times. He didn't say 7 gazillion times. But, you know, after that, you know, I get it that you don't want to change, and then I'm not making excuses for that. And I bless you and I let you go. You know, and that's a hard thing. When do we let people go? When do we keep them in our lives? If they're serving our higher good, it's important. And if sometimes we can stay in a place of abuse until we learn the lessons, if, you know, sooner the better. You know,
right.
And that's a hard thing. But
and I do feel sometimes we're put into certain lives, on the other hand, besides the lessons we learn, to give them an opportunity to do the right thing.
That's right. And ask them to choose again, you know.
Yeah.
And if not, you'll just say, you know, they'll learn, you know, in this lifetime or any other, they'll learn. And I've done my best to teach, but I don't have to be your rug to walk all over, or your punching bag. You know, that's not my job. And it goes across the board with family members, jobs, you know, in this economy, a lot of people are taking a lot of crap from their employers thinking, well, it's a bad economy. You know, there's no shortage of work on this planet. Find something that needs doing and do it. But you don't have to take abuse. And, you know, people think, well, I should be lucky I have a job. You know, they should be lucky you're doing a good job, too. You know, it's a two-way street. So, you know, again, you know, empower yourself. God doesn't ask you to take abuse.
No. No way. Wow. Thanks, Tina. I appreciate you.
Bye. And John, I don't know how much time is left on the show because I'm not really looking.
Well, what I did is I extended just slightly because you guys are really going into it here, and I've got other callers out there waiting, and I just wanted to see how long you were good for.
Okay. I'll do about one more call because, I did tell you today was one of those days that I did work and I did run back and forth to my mom, and I don't know what tomorrow brings for my mother. So
okay.
We'll take one
more
call.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take one more, and then what I'll do is I'll just, when you go off, I'll go ahead and just take it from here and do some soul streaming for other callers coming in.
Okay.
The next caller is going to be, let's see, Kathy Bradshaw, my co-host, and also the lady who mans the boot button on our chat room.
Oh, that's a hard job.
We just caught her in.
God forbid I do that, the show would, like, my show would fall apart.
Well, she's here now. Hey, Kathy, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Do you have a question?
Do you have any messages from the other side for me?
Okay, basically, I will tell you this. You are really learning a lot of your lessons. I can see you have a number of people that have crossed over.
Yes.
There's a woman who wants to talk to you. Is it your mom?
Possibly, yeah.
Because she's the strongest voice coming through. Do you feel her near you?
I hope not.
Was she not a good mom?
No.
Okay. You know, those of you listening, my mom is dying, and my mom was the ultimate narcissist, by the way. It was all about her. And living with a narcissist is hard enough. Watching them die can be torturous. And, you know, my dad was also awful. And, you know, he died, and I have a much better relationship with him now that he crossed over. Thanks to me and a lot of the healing that I've done. My father got away with some stuff and was, you know, probably in a higher notch in heaven than he should be. Because of his dysfunction, I learned a hell of a lot. And those of us, and you're an old soul, Kathy, and those of us who have been born into great dysfunction, it's not because we were mean son of a bitches in our last lifetime and we deserve this.
No, I know why I was born into it.
we're born into end it.
Yes.
We're born into end dysfunction. Normally, we only end it by becoming it. What we judge, we do become. And your mother has changed, I need to tell you. She is a voice that is sorry. It's taken her a long time probably to learn stuff. I don't think she learned right away. You know, I found with my dad, he almost the minute he crossed over said, oh, my God, what did I do? And I think it took her a little bit longer there's also a grandma. Who is the woman that you were close to growing up?
Her mom.
She's a lovely woman. She's asking you to forgive your mom, by the way.
I'm sure she is.
Okay, and your grandma is, she's full of spunk. She loves what you're doing. You have the most wonderful five-year period opening up. It's called the Wheel of Fortune. I can tell you must have had a hard life, and you, a person who's sort of, you know, come up on top and learned a lot of the lessons. Now God wants to make this five-year period easy for you. He's pretty much saying, Kathy, you did a lot of what I'm asking for. You learned a lot of those karmic lessons. What can I do for you? How can I make your life better? So during this five-year period, if I were you, I would just see where I want to go with my life in every single way and let God bring it on. If for some reason you're doing something that you think you want to be doing, you know, because sometimes the gods punish us, they give us what we wish for, it won't go easy. Anything that's going to serve your higher good will be extremely easy for you to be doing. And there's a younger person who's there. Who's the younger person who died?
As far as what, younger than my mother and my grandmother?
Yeah. I mean, like...
Or younger than me.
young when they die. Do you know who that is?
No, I really don't.
Okay, because they're standing near your grandma. Did your grandmother lose a child?
No.
Because it could have also been like someone she grew up with, but that she missed very much.
I don't know, that would be grasping straws for me.
Yeah. Again, you know, they're not alone up there, and you know, your grandmother saying you never gave her much trouble, by the way.
Oh, good.
That you were
I thought
really...
I was hello, Will.
No, not compared to your mom, by the way.
Okay, I can see where that's going.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with her.
not compared to your mom. They're asking you not to worry about money. Are you worrying about money?
No.
Because money's okay in these cards, by the way. You know, don't worry about it too much. And you did learn a lot of the karmic lessons. Mainly you learned to be able to stand on your own two feet. And your grandma's saying, boy, you had a lot of courage when you were a little kid. You know, and you still have that now. There's still a little bit of you breaking away from some of the dogma or sort of some thinking that's not serving your higher good anymore. Are you working on that?
Well, I've never felt a part of the earth, if that's what, you know. But
we are you trying to ground yourself a little bit, though? Because
we are
here on earth. You know?
No, I'm not trying to ground myself.
Okay.
Me,
because,
personally, I'd really rather just float away.
Oh, I know. Well, actually, see, I was the opposite. When I was so damn grounded, they had to get me to, like, fly, you know. My daughter, who is 30, but, you know, has been pretty spiritual, I have to ground her. Do you know what I mean? I have to tell you, look, I don't care, you know, how enlightened you are. You're going to starve if you don't, you know, you don't make any money. You're going to freeze out there in the cold if you don't get down to, you know, grounded to the earth. And so I try to ground her, and, you know, meanwhile, I need to fly a little more. So is there someone you wanted to talk to besides? There is a man up there. Is it your dad?
Oh, well, I've got a lot of men up there.
I know, because, you've got a lot of I'm sorry's, by the way. You know, people saying they're sorry, people who wish they did you better by you. Try to have a relationship with your mom. Trust me.
I really don't want one.
She's changed.
That's good for her then.
Yeah.
That'll just help her move on better, but I can't go there with her right now.
Okay. I mean, I know it's really difficult. You know, I find it's much harder to bury people we have mixed feelings for. When you just love them, it's a hell of a lot easier. But with our parents, the child in us always loves them, no matter how bad they are. The grown-up full well knows what they did, but the child does need to mourn because somehow children just love their parents.
Oh, I'm not mourning.
Mm.
No. I don't really have any feelings for her one way or the other. I wish her well, that's all.
Well, that's...
Whatever endeavor she goes up there, but that's just between me and her. There's no animosity, nothing, no. But do you see me moving to Massachusetts anytime soon?
I do see anything you want is yours, including the move. Are you ready for that move?
No, not right now.
Okay, but Ken, again, in the Wheel of Fortune, you know, anything you want is yours, but if you give mixed messages, the universe is going to say, well, we can't help you. So you pretty much will have an entirely different life in the next couple of years, by the way.
Nice.
And good. Really good life. But the move is up to you, you know, you just sort of, you know, deciding where you want to be taking your life. I see a lot of positive energy in these cards. And for you, though, you get a lot of divine guidance. Are you hearing it?
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, you get a ton here.
Tons, yes.
A really, really lot. There's a nice grandfather here. Did you have one grandfather you were close with?
Yeah.
Because he's watching over you a lot. There's a nice man in this picture. Do you have one?
I had one.
Okay, he crossed over too?
Yes.
Because this is a very loyal, trustworthy man here.
Yes.
He would like to gift you with someone else. Are you ready?
That someone else what?
He would like to gift you with someone to love. He doesn't want you to be alone. You have a lot of love to give. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm just not looking for anybody in particular.
Well, you don't have to. He's going to deliver them, you know. He's going to deliver them to your doorstep. He loves you. He's saying you're very strong-willed. When you make up your mind, you'll know where you belong.
I am.
He is telling you he loves you. It's funny, the hardest part about talking to the dead is that they wish they could just sit down with us and tell us how much they love us.
Oh, he talks to me all the time.
Yeah, that's what he would want to do more than anything, just sit and love you. He left you some money.
A while back, yeah.
Right, because he's glad about that. You know what I mean? That was one of the things that helped him rest in peace a little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't have many regrets as far as you go. He has regrets about some other stuff, but not you.
He really doesn't in any area of what we've spoke of since he's passed. So he's learned to get through all that. I think his most concern is his kids, his sons.
Yeah, he has some regrets. He is troubled by one of his children. Is it his son that would trouble him?
Yes.
Okay, and again, he is watching over him. He tries to guide him. His son doesn't hear him very well, so that's a problem, but you know, other than that, he's okay. He's crying a little bit. He does miss you tremendously. You know, how long has he been gone now?
Tremendously too.
How long has he been gone?
2007.
Okay, so it is a fairly recent death because, I mean, usually when they're gone up, you know, 5 years or beyond, they stop the crying. You know what I mean? He just wishes he could be here. And
he was my
you.
Heart and soul. He was my very best friend. He was all of that.
And you were that for him, too. You know he would not want to be here without you.
I know.
He would never make it. He wouldn't make it a day.
Yeah,
he does come beside. he does come beside you at night once in a while and lie beside you. Do you feel him?
I do.
Okay, because he promises to do that. And, you know, funny, the connection between John and I was really for him to talk to you, by the way. He, you know, the dead find a way.
Well, who, John to talk to me?
Yeah, how John and I got on the radio show, your husband sort of made sure he maneuvered that I would get to talk to you.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you.
Well, good luck to you. And, John, thank you for having me on the show today. You're a wonderful host. And
thank you.
Keep me in mind for future, and please call into my show, and you know, and I will do the same for you because I got so many positive emails about you, and did let everybody know about your show. So,
I am really impressed with you, and I think we are going to be lifelong friends.
I hope so so much because you know, think about it. We're so blessed to be in this electronic age where you on the other side of the country, and I could connect. And remember, it was the first time I ran my show without my producer, the woman who does all the chat room and all that. And I was kind of nervous. And I said, God, send me somebody to help. And there you were. So, you know, I was like, oh, thank you.
You did a great reading on me too, and just listening to you tonight at work, you are a natural, and I am going to be more than thrilled to have you on again. And I'll call in. Believe me, I've got you on my favorites already. So,
oh, good.
I will be calling in, and you know, maybe we can do a little.
And don't you think it's funny that I was going to totally mess this up? I felt so bad. I said, "Oh my God, I missed the show at 5 o'clock," you know. And I thought, how horrible that is. And there it was. And then I say, "Wait, I'm on now." So I just think that's so great, you know. So good luck, and thanks for having me, and enjoy California.
Okay, and Cindy, it's just wonderful to have you aboard, and we will be praying for your mother and you tonight. And I wish everybody in the audience say a prayer and to help, you know, your mother transition.
Ask them to help her transition. That's what we want. We want her to cross over now. I don't think she's going to learn any more from the suffering she's been doing. She's suffered brutally for 2 years physically. I think it's enough already. So
okay.
That's what we ask. Thanks so much, and I'll speak to you again.
Sweeter.
Bye.
Okay, bye now. And that was Cindy Sanson Braff, and her website is out at Higher Love, I believe it is right here. Let me try to find that. I'm looking at my notes here. My goodness, I don't have my notes all organized. So it's still getting grantmeahigherlove.com. There it is. And she also has a show here on Blog Talk, and you can just look for Higher Love. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/higherlove. And anyway, we're going to go ahead and continue on to 10 o'clock, and you've got me for half an hour, guys, and I am just thrilled to death that Kathy got a reading, and same with Dom. That was really good stuff, you guys, and she is one of the better psychics I've run into and mediums I've seen in a long time, and so it was just a real thrill to get her on. And I, you know, it was funny, as I had this strange feeling that there was going to be a little mix-up today, and I was sending, I always send my show notes out early, and checked to make sure that the guest is confirmed. And I was getting nothing back, and I was getting real worried. That's why I had the Soul Stream ready to go in my hip pocket, just in case I needed it. Now, we do have a 936 caller out on the line, and I'm going to go ahead and take that call. And I'm sorry that you didn't get to I'm clicking it now. And, God, Blog Talk switchboard is such a pain in the rump. Sometimes you just hit the button, you can't get the little microphone thingy. There we go. So, anyway, but you got me, 936. You're on the air. Who's this?
How you doing, John?
Oh, pretty good, man.
Damn, I missed your guest.
Who's that?
I missed your guest.
Yeah, I'm sorry. She was real thorough with the two people she read, in addition to kind of reading me. And but who we got on the air?
Boy,
is this Blue Goose?
It's a tall, fat boy from Texas, man.
A tall,
you know,
fat boy from Texas.
The one that mutes the volume on the news channel and ad-libs the voices on there, makes up their own dialogue. Come on, man.
I,
you got a short memory or what?
Or, yeah, tonight I do.
It's Thomas.
Oh, Thomas. Oh, my God. I haven't talked to you in forever. I mean, we were doing the shows together on Wednesdays, right? I mean, with Nietzsche. God, my friend, how are you doing?
Oh, if I was any better, I'd be you.
You know, things are on the upturn around here. I mean, I got my voice back, and, yeah, I was talking like this for 2 weeks. Man, that sucked, you know, but I have got pipes back. I feel great. Things are going good. Dad's doing good. Got new tractors. Things moving around here. Great psychics and mediums coming around, and me taking the classes. But what's happening with you?
Well, I'm getting close to applying for my Cherokee status. So I can get that out of the way.
Ooh, what's that all about?
Well, I'm part Cherokee Indian, so I'm trying to get recognized by the Cherokee Nation so I can get additional benefits that I don't have right now, like free health, medical, and dental. Because I don't have a job.
And yikes.
I've been on disability since 2008, man, so I can use all the help I can get.
Okay, everybody, let's put some energy out there for Thomas here and get him Cherokee status, because he is, you know, that's the thing, you know, that's going to come through for you. I really feel good about that. I mean, you've got the proof in the pudding with your all your heritage and records, right?
Yeah, that's there's a woman that's putting all that together, and she's found more relatives of mine on the dolls rolls, however you say that, dolls rolls, with numbers going back into the 1800s. So, yeah.
I get a good feeling there. I did not know that you were you had been disabled. What happened, my friend?
Well, I've got multiple sclerosis.
God, you know, that is so strange because I've had shingles and I ended up with symptoms like MS, and I know kind of what you're going through. I actually was able to recover from mine back in 06, and you know, what happened? It just hit you out of the blue?
Yeah, no, actually I fell off a truck from about 5 feet in the air and hit my head on asphalt, so that was the start.
Yike.
Yeah, that was
the catalyst. And it just started from there?
Yeah, that was the catalyst that started everything. The first thing I went through was double vision. Actually, I was cross-eyed. I'm going on the freeway at 65 miles per hour, and the freeway only has three lanes, and all of a sudden it has six. So you can imagine driving a 2.5-ton heavy-duty truck. I had to drive with one eye closed so I could tell where I was at. That was
oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's not cool.
Especially in rush hour traffic in Houston. That's always fun. I wasn't going to get hurt, but if I hit somebody, they get hurt, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you could just pick the one in the middle. You know, you just look at both eyes and then just interpolate it and just go with the middle, of course.
Yeah,
that always works.
I just close one eye and drive with one eye open and one eye closed, and I'd switch because I'd start to get a headache. So
I went through the twitches with neuropathy, which you know, basically it's the same kind of it's almost the same kind of thing. The sheathing in the nerves gets kind of screwed up, and you start short circuiting literally, and you're twitching, and it's the most annoying thing in the world. It doesn't actually hurt that much, but it's just a very annoying thing, you know, and you get scared the hell out of you at first. And then, you know, in my case, I went on, just to let you know, I went on fish oil, did some research with the, I think it was Johns Hopkins University had a paper on it. And there's precious little information on shingles with regard to dealing with it when it's in a full blown session after you've had the antiviral treatment. And it turned out it really helped me, and I just get this feeling, just check into it, because it did help rebuild the sheathing in my nerves very quickly. So, you know, and I was able to stop the neuropathy, and, you know, they couldn't believe how fast I got over it once I started this regimen that I got on, just based on that paper. So I hope that helps.
So it's funny,
but,
you mentioned that. Somebody gave me some fish oil here recently, and I'm like, why are you giving me fish oil? But I guess I'll start taking it now. Why not?
Yeah, I went on during the worst of it. I was on 2,000 milligrams of it a day. I was taking four capsules a day. And then after 4 months, I dropped it down to a maintenance dose, and I take one 500 milligram in the morning. And that's a maintenance dose for me. And the other thing is that stress. I was carrying, at the time, I was working without a staff, with a company with 5,000 employees, doing all of the web work by myself, and it burned me out. And I had to basically give up my role as a webmaster for the company and go into, you know, research and development programming, which I'm really happy at. But it was a combination of stress and, you know, my immune system was crap anyway. And then I'd had chickenpox when I was a kid, which is what shingles are, you know, is derived from. So, you know, but I just get a feeling in your case, give it a shot, you know, take a dose that you feel comfortable with and then just watch it. It takes a matter of weeks, you know, from what I'm able to tell. And other people who saw what I did copied me and started having similar results. And the doctors were just going, wow, this really works.
Well, things have continued to pick up for me, and they get stranger every day by most people's standards, and I just sit here and go, okay, yeah, I'll wait for validation on that. But I was falling asleep the other night, and the soul of my aunt came to me, and I'm falling asleep. I'm in that state between half awake, half asleep,
right.
And she came to me and tapped me on my foot, and I kind of barely cracked my eyes, and I could see her, and I'm like, what? I'm trying to go to sleep. She goes, you need to hurry up. I said, I need to hurry up. Why? She goes, because I'm ready to get into another body, and you're going to be my dad. I'm like, what? And I came fully awake at that point, and I was pissed off because it took me another 2 hours to go to sleep because I'm like, okay, I just had a friendly haunting. Great. So I was wondering if you could do a slipstream or whatever it is you do with your recording.
Slipstream.
Yeah.
I could do a real fast one if it's just a single question, what we could do, a slipstream. I like that. It's a slipstream. It's a soul stream, man. Tonight it's slipstream. Let's go with that. I like that. That's good. Let me go ahead and bring up my audio software. It's taking an unordinarily long time. And by the way, 916, I do see you out there. And that's actually in my area. And I think I know who that is. I think it's actually Renee Martine, my number two here at GRI. I think she's calling in. So, Renee, I do see you there. And I'll tell you what, I'll put you online. That way, if we do run out of time, I'll just have you online, and we'll go into the overtime on the show. So anyway, I've got it ready to go here, and let me go ahead and get the FM source going. Okay, there we go. And that seems to, it's got a little bit of a audio signal that I don't like, but I overcame it yesterday. We can do it again tonight. So I'll tell you what, have a really quick question, that just a single question, and then we'll just go ahead and go about 20 seconds and see what kind of answer we get, okay?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
Is Kaylee the one you've chosen to be the mother?
Okay, I stopped that at 25 seconds. I gave you roughly 19 to 20 seconds worth of audio, and that'll be pretty much enough to go with the time we have remaining. I'm already going to max out the 2 hours here. And if you stay online, then I'll be able to keep going, although I'll lose the stream. So here we go. Let's see what we get, guys. And 916, I do have you out there. And while I'm just going to ask real quick who it is at 916. Is that you, Renee? 916.
Hey, John.
Yeah, who is this?
Hey, it's your number 17 in the group, Spencer Hughes.
Oh, Spencer Hughes, a fox across America.
How's it going, my friend?
Hey, I'm just sitting here soul streaming away, man, and it's good to have you. I'm in Studio A, and you just got home from your big, long trip out there. You were out
all over the place. Yeah, we were in San Francisco, Sonoma County, and I just wanted to, I didn't want to tie you up your show. I just wanted to call up and say hi. I miss you, and want to get you over while we're down to just the baby, and maybe have you spend a night in our haunted house here, and we'll do some more investigating.
Hey, Spencer.
Well, darn straight.
Hey,
Spencer. Go ahead.
Is it Spencer? Is that his name?
Yeah, Spencer Hughes.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, from one Hughes to another Hughes, hello.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. If I was any better, I'd be you.
Well, I feel bad.
I'm sorry, only on this show would we get two U's together.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, Spence, I was watching your Facebook stuff all day, and you guys were going through. I made a comment to Sarah about getting a Jetsons car. I felt bad for the traffic you guys were going through.
it ended up being okay, but you know, it's a long weekend, you want to get home, and it's just traffic never wants to cooperate.
Well, hey, as long as I get you on, next week I've got an open slot, and I was hoping if I could talk you in on Sunday night, and who knows, maybe I could be like over there and we could do a haunted show out of your place, or we could do it from here and just have you on air. But I'm trying to rope you in here, my friend.
Well, I want to be on next Sunday. Though we're going to be at the river with some family. So we're not going to be home from like Friday on until like Monday.
Okay.
If I could do it on the phone or something, I'd love to be on.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's look at a night that we can schedule that in, because yeah, I've been itching to get you back on and play some of the evidence, because we have a remarkable amount of evidence from your particular case. And
it's
pretty
just crazy stuff.
You have for the whole audience to be there, especially in the upper section of Spence's house, and have some of the things that have happened. I've witnessed all kinds of phenomena there. We've had cold spots, K2 activity. K2 is where spirits are answering the sessions as we post questions. I've been scratched. There's been physical sightings by most of the members of the household. I mean, what's been happening lately over there? I mean, there's been.
I had a really good K2 session just the other day before we left, up in the boys' bathroom again. And I think I finally put my finger on why they like being in that room, because it's so dirty and awful. I'm thinking, why would a spirit want to be in there? But I'm thinking it's because nobody can stand being in there. So I think the spirit's there all by itself. It knows no human would want to go in there and go through that ordeal. So it just kind of sits around saying, no one's going to come in here. It's too dirty. But I had an amazing K2 session. You know, for people who question that, and I was a skeptic at first too, John, but I will sit there kind of as a control, and I'll put that K2 on and just sit there and watch it for 10, 15 minutes, half an hour sometimes, depending on how much time I have. And it will not flicker. Yeah. I mean, it won't even go into the green, the first green, nothing. So there's it's not like a stray signal or anything. And then the minute I start directing questions at it, it lights up, and I challenge the skeptics to tell me what the heck's going on. There's no way that a stray signal happens to be coming on that thing just the second I ask for a question, for an answer.
Well, I have seen it.
There's no way.
Yeah, and Spence is in our group, and he's been with us about a year. He's full-fledged investigator now, and he's walked with me into some of the most haunted places you can imagine. And we've hunted on the Hornet. I took him as one of his initiations into probably one of the spookiest graveyards I've even been in, and we had shadows and footsteps around us, and he was looking a little peaked there for a minute, but he's got guts.
Yeah,
I was
pretty terrified, I have to admit.
But,
John can see things. John can see things I can't see. So when John tells me, is that something walking up towards us in the graveyard, I'm like, oh, my God, please.
I'll admit, you were walking, like, really close to me, and I was, like, going, I'm not so sure about this graveyard. Maybe I should have done something different. But, we toughed it out for about 20 minutes, and I will admit to you, we did get warned out of there. One of the spirits on the EVPs we got said, don't do EVPs here anymore. So we got kind of run out. It was a good initiation for you, and now I know you're ready for anything. So it's just good to have you on, my friend.
Yeah, no, it's great. I won't tie you up. I just wanted to say hi. And we're down five kids this week. So if you want to come by early this week and spend a night, you're more than welcome to.
You got a deal. I'll give you a call here after the show.
Okay, sounds great, my friend.
Hey, Spencer.
Okay.
Hey.
I just want to tell you, next time you go to a haunted house or a graveyard or something like that, and they start harassing you, just stand there and say with conviction, don't sing it, bring it.
But see, I'm a pretty short guy, though. I'm a pretty short guy, and these spirits are probably towering over me, so I don't want to push my luck too much. I'm a little guy. I'll get run out of there real quick.
Yeah, well, I'm 6'7", and I've been struck by lightning, so nothing fazes me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're not scared of anything after that event.
No.
Wow. Well, okay. I'm 5'7", and I've been struck by my kids.
Oh.
But it's still not the same thing. Anyway. Okay, you guys. Call me
on
the show, okay, John?
Okay, will do.
All right, see you, my friend.
Okay, see you later. And that's Spencer Eves, Fox Across America host. He's one heck of a radio show host. And, not only that, he's my best friend. And him and I have got a long history together. I met him on my birthday when I turned 50 years old in 2009. And I'll tell you what, we have had a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. And he's the greatest guy in the world, one of the nicest people I've ever met, and I'm just thrilled he came on the show here with us. So thanks a lot, Spence. And
thank you.
I think he's still okay, my friend. I'll tell you what, I'll just put your mic on mute, and if you want to just listen in, we'll just do this soul stream here. And
Footstream.
Yeah, the slipstream. We're going to do a slipstream here. Okay, and it does look like we had quite a bit of activity here. I'm going to try to speed through this in 10 minutes. Here we go. First session, 5 seconds to nine. We have a pretty big phrase here. This is a female with a sense of humor. Is it really hot where you're at right now?
But before you say anything, I just want to say that sounds like my aunt bitching about something. Go ahead. Yeah, it's hot here.
Yeah, let's go to the snow. I'm melting.
Yeah, it's been shooting over 100 degrees here every day for about a month or so.
Yeah, well, yeah, this spirit is like gone. It's really friggin' hot. And here we go, 9 to 12. I'm just going to rip right through here. Here we go, 9 to 12. Let it go takes you to the light. Let it go takes you to the light. This is another spirit. It's a different one speaking, and I think it's a female. 12 and a half to 16 and a half. Here we go. I'm going to trust my gut. I'm going to break that in half. 12 and a half to 14 and a half. Here we go. Got it. It's something like, I help when you walk. It's something about your walking. I help when you walk. 14 and a half to 16 and a half. Here we go. They're kind of putting you on the spot here. They're saying you need to help us, and I think it's kind of pushing you to jump in there too and help, help them to help you, kind of thing. 16 and a half to 20 seconds. We're almost through here. Here we go. Got it. Got it. Male voice, help you. You made me talk here tonight. And so there's a multiple. There's not just this female that's trying to tell you about crossing and being a daddy. This is a multitude of spirits working with you. And I'm almost betting dollars to donuts here that these are family members and people who are close to you who have passed. 20 to 23 seconds. Here we go. Okay, female saying help you this time. So they are actively working with you. Part of this dreaming is, you know, it's not like you're going to die tomorrow. I mean, they're not. That's not what they're saying. What they're talking about is, you know, that's they're just kind of letting you know, if, you know, the future. And that dream is kind of prophetic, but really they're there about your current battle that you're having. So 22 to 24, and then we have one more after that, and we're gonna make this thing work, man. We got 5 minutes left. Here we go. I don't know what your connection to boats or sailing is, but this says you will go sailing. Now, before, you know, let me go ahead and finish the last one, and then we'll talk about that. 24 to 23 and a half to 25 and a half. Here we go. Final one. Very easy. You were dear to me. So let me read this real fast so we get the full painting here of what we did. Let's go to the snow. I'm melting, this female says, and it's kind of laughing. Let me take you to the light, and basically not in the sense that you're going to go tonight, but basically working with you towards a higher spirit. I'm here to help you walk. Something about your walking. You need to help. You need to help us, and I think what they're meaning, you need to help us help you. So you need to reach out to them because they are around you. You made me talk tonight. So they kind of put you on the spot. They made you call, and they wanted you to get your attention through this. So you did good following your instincts to call in. We're going to help you out this time, this female says. And she's kind of wagging her finger at you. So there's kind of and it's a different female than the other one that talked. You're going to go sailing. And then it says, you have been dear to me, or you were dear to me, and or are dear to me. So this is all about love. And they care about you, my friend.
Well, I figured that, or they wouldn't be hanging around.
Yeah, and I would be feeling really good about this. And the other thing is, you called, and here we are with a potential thing that might help you with, you know, the symptoms you're having. So, you know, I'd check it out with your doctor and just clear it with them, and then, go ahead and find a dose to take, and then just see. I mean, you've already got some of this already. You know, somebody gave that to you, and then you come on the show, and that synchronicity happens too. So, I just got a good feeling about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know about this boat.
I'm wondering about this woman that's come into my life. That's why I was wondering about that. I've had a almost instant connection with this woman, and I'm like, my head is still spinning over that. And then my aunt comes to me as I'm falling asleep and says I need to hurry up because she's going to be my child. I'm sitting there going, I'm 40 years old. I'm too old to be having kids. What are you talking about? So,
Well, hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to run this into when the stream goes out, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to go ahead and call out to everybody. We've got 1 minute left on stream. Blue Ghost is with us, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Dominica Amore, Elizabeth Rose, Gabriel, Gerber Daisy, Giraffe, and Kestrel. And I did see on the blog talk who's listening, there were a whole lot more. So for all you lurkers out there, thank you for being on with us. And Spencer Hughes is out there still listening in. So I'll tell you what, we're going to lose the feed here in about 30 seconds. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we have had a great night tonight. We had Cindy Sanson Graf was with us tonight, a great medium, and somebody I'm just looking forward to talking with more and having on. Did some amazing readings. And then we just went into some soul slipstreaming. I'm sorry, slipstreaming. Thomas got me good. And then our good friend Spencer Hughes from Fox Across America is here. So it's been a wonderful night, and it's a great place to have your voice back. So 10 seconds to losing the stream. Good night, everybody. We're going to go ahead and continue on. And Spence's mic is still on, so all the Hughes are going to be talking together. Good night, everybody. And then now we're now we're on archive, and we can talk, and we're still recording. So. Yeah, that was neat. That was neat, what we had there. The aunt, it was your aunt who came through?
Yeah. My Aunt Teresa, she died back in 2004 at the age of 58 from cancer. So she's waiting to incarnate again.
Well, she's not, I don't think she's, you know, I think that the... I think that the message is not so much to worry about that your end is in sight. I think it's just more about the fact that she just wants to talk about the future and give you hope, you know, and all that kind of thing. But and not only that, she's still kind of fresh to the scene, and she was pretty. The thing I get is she's real outspoken anyway. Kind of doesn't think before she speaks, even in death.
I said when you first started doing the session, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like my aunt ranting about something.
Yeah, I think she's going to get better with time on that. So, and I'm just going to say, love you guys here on the chat room. Still kicking along. I can't believe it. But, you know, it started off real slow tonight, and it just really started taking off.
Yeah, I forgot you had a separate chat room. I just joined it myself. So.
Yeah, it's just in your case, I really feel that what's going on is just more of a support thing, and she's got her fun, unique way of showing it. But really, they're all looking around you, going, "Hey, you know," they're trying to kick your butt, basically, and trying to get you kind of moving and keep going, which I think you're doing. But they're not letting that time soon. That's the thing I get here.
You know, John, it's funny. I find myself cleaning my house, and I don't want to. And I'm going, why am I doing this again? And I just keep cleaning the house. And I also walk more, so my legs are getting stronger, and my vertigo is not as bad as it used to be. So things are improving.
Yeah.
And then this woman walks into my life and starts messaging me. We talk on Skype with cameras and everything, and I'm sitting there going, okay, nah, my head's spinning. What's going on here? So.
You know, I would not question that. When something like that happens, it's supposed to be happening that way. Just go with the flow and see what happens. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is just let go and let it happen. And I'll tell you a real love story that I'm really always I marvel at is the guy that's listening on the phone right now, Spencer Hughes. He's got the nicest wife, and they really love each other, and they're great people. And I just like being around them, just watching them interact with each other. And they have an open love affair, even on Facebook. And it's fun to watch them. And I just get the sense this lady is like that for you. So this is a good thing. And I know you're going to transition out of this disease with no trouble. So you know, pardon me.
Which one?
Which disease?
Yeah, man, there's two of them. I got MS, and then I'm coming down with a woman.
I think I'll take the woman. It's not a problem at all with the woman. She's really I take it smitten with you.
The only thing that draws a big question mark in my mind is I'm 40 years old and she's 23.
Don't worry about age.
Yeah.
Worry about you're questioning, and you know, love is kind of one of those things that you know, it's going to come no matter what you do, and you're looking at the age thing, and don't worry about the age. Worry about the quality of the love, and the rest will come naturally. Don't worry about that. Jeez.
I'm coming down with
you're
the Viking.
Lucky man.
I'm coming down with the Viking chick, man. She's Swedish descent. She's blonde hair, blue eyes, and she's 5'10".
Well, have you met her?
Yeah, I've talked to her over the camera. She's in.
But you have you met?
Not in person, no. Just over the camera and the microphone, and she's in Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, give it a shot and just go with it. You know, enjoy yourself. Have fun with it. That you know, I had distance relationships before and had a great time with it. Just keep going. This is supposed to happen for you, and it's supposed to, and it's really a healing thing for you. That's the thing I keep getting. So just trust your instincts. You know, it's, you know, society says all these things about old, and, you know, ignore that crap. It's just crap.
Well,
it really is.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, so just, you know.
Just wondering if I could keep up with a 22-year-old, man.
She's needing, she needs you, from the way it sounds to me, she needs you. She needs a stable man who's got some life experience, and that's what she likes. So what's the deal? I don't think that's going to be a problem. Yeah.
Well,
no.
I wait for validation on things, and I got validation today. She said something without me saying a word, no coercion, no questions, nothing. She just said something to me because I made the mention to her. I said, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. She goes, I don't care what kind of body you're in, what you smell like, what you look like, or what you sound like. I see you. I see you as the soul you are, and that's what I love. I'm going...
Well, then you shouldn't worry about it. She's basically called it as an old saying with love, that love is not, you know, with especially with women, and men have the hardest time getting this into their heads, but attraction is not a choice. And in her mind, that's where it's coming from. She's attracted to you because of who you are. Let it be, man. You got it made, my friend. And just if it were me, I'd be running to South Africa, you know, and doing whatever I could to encourage you know, things along. So you're lucky.
I know you remember.
And this thing,
I heard a song the other day on the radio in my car, and it brought a couple of tears to my eyes. And I know you remember the song because you're old enough to remember it. It's by a group called Toto.
Yeah.
The song is called Africa.
Yep.
Remember that song?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know the one.
I was listening to that song, and it's never made me cry before, but I had tears come to my eyes, and I'm like, okay, I'm driving. I got to stop this. And, but, yeah, it just came on out of the blue, and I'm like, why of all the songs did this one come on?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm going to go ahead and do a special show on Tuesday night, and I think you should dial in. And maybe... Yeah, I think we should have you dial in, and I'll go ahead and do another soul stream with you, and let's just take a look at that. Pardon me?
Slipstream.
Yeah, we'll do another soul slipstream. But yeah, let's do that. And I just think you know, tonight, just work on your physical self, and then just think about what we talked about here. You know, about letting it just be the way it is. And then we'll look at the connection here and just see, you know, we'll do like a two-question session for you, and let's just see what we get.
Works for me.
Yeah, okay, my friend.
I appreciate you squeezing me in at the end of the show like that.
Oh, no problem. Hey, take care of yourself. And yeah, I'll talk with Kathy about Dimitri, because we need to get back with those sessions again. I kind of miss those Wednesday night things.
I do, too. On Wednesday nights, I keep thinking, isn't there something I'm supposed to be doing? Oh, yeah, it's a round table. We're not doing that right now. So.
Yeah, that's what's. But yeah, it's bothering me too. So I'm gonna give Kathy a call and see what's going on. Okay.
All right. You have a good night, man, and thanks again.
Okay. Hey, take care of yourself, Thomas.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye now. Hey, Spence. Mike's still on. Are you still there? Whoop, we lost Spencer Hughes. So, okay, tell you what an exceptional night this show was. And I still got an active console. Usually Blog Talk knocks out my console right after the stream fails, or not fails, but drops off. But really an interesting show, and I really am liking the fact that when we do these shows on Sunday nights, we end up having people on, if I get really good quality guests on who, you know, answer and talk to you, and I kind of step out of the way, I like that a lot, because not only do I learn something, but it helps you guys too. And that's what the show's all about. So this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to go ahead and do our kind of a Da Vinci bumper. We always end with this one. So I'll do that and then knock off and go check on my parents. And I'll see you guys on Tuesday. We'll do a special show Tuesday and bring Thomas on and talk about Africa. Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and I have my voice back in full power. And we will see you guys then. Good night now. You are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.